fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you hear that? Do you see that? There's more to what you see and hear in this shifted reality. I hear my guardian angel talking to me. This is Maria, and I have a guardian angel named Fija. Together, we will talk to you about the different shifted realities. Join us. You are listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast. Have a peaceful day.
Hello, welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I'm excited, man. I was on his podcast a couple of weeks ago, or like, no, a week ago. I knew we're going to get along really well, and I invited him on my show. His name is Lee Hatfield. He is the host of SEPA Paranormal Chronicles. Really excited that you're on the show tonight, man.
Al, thanks for having me. And it seems such a long time since we spoke, but it was a week ago tonight.
A week ago today, right?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. it, yeah.
Boy, how time flies, right?
I've had at least one night's sleep since then, so I'm good.
Yeah, me too, right? So let's get right to it. I mean, what does SEPA stand for?
So SEPA stands for Scientific Investigation of Paranormal Activity. So basically, yes, we are a paranormal investigation team, but we want to do things the right way. So what I mean by that is that we will investigate natural phenomena before we even go down the paranormal route. And what I mean by natural phenomena, we actually have devices that detect black mold. Because if you've got black mold, you can have like apparitions and in your mind and stuff like that. And carbon monoxide can do the same, and electromagnetic fields. So we call ourselves scientific because we like to approach it from let's rule out as much natural phenomena before we go down the paranormal supernatural route.
When you say us, how many are there of you?
So there's three core members, Volta, Logan, and myself. And then we have about four other crew members.
So you do go out and you investigate buildings, haunted grounds or cemetery? What do you do?
Yeah, so we've got quite a few public buildings around here, but as a lot of people will know, to go into a public location is either a lot of paperwork or it costs you a lot of money, or they just say no. But we have some really good locations around here in Ottawa. We've got two jails that are close by that are extremely active. One's in a place called Cornwall, and the other one's in a place called L'Oréal, which is close to Hawkesbury on the way towards Montreal. And then we have a couple of mills close by as well that we do get a lot of activity. So we do go to those locations maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You said Ottawa, Canada. So I was thinking today, I don't usually do this. I check my statistics for my podcast. I mainly look at the downloads and some parts of the if it's going more on Apple or more on Spotify, more or not, you know what I'm saying? Where's my target audience at? So I know which media to go with mainly when I'm doing my marketing, you know. So today I went a little further. I'm like, well, okay, if it's Canada, like naturally United States, since I'm here in the United States, that's my big market. Then my next market is the UK, you know, then Canada, you know. So I'm looking at all these little dots, like we're at in Canada, we're at in the UK, and it tells me everywhere. So I was like, there's this one dot, man. It's like right in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. So I'm zooming in. It's got to be this little island, right? I'm zooming in. There's nothing there. It says like a submarine. So somebody on a submarine was listening to my podcast. I thought that was so cool, right?
That is awesome.
Yeah, and that's the first time in 8 years that I that I actually knew somebody other than standing on ground is listening to the podcast, you know, because usually I get a lot of stuff to where a truck driver's gone by, and a lot of truck drivers listen to like your show too as well. They'll listen to like our podcast. That maybe you can listen to audio without the video, or you can watch the video on the screen, you know. But I thought that was cool. You brought up Canada. And I said, well, they were third on my market list today.
You get your pin and put it in the board.
Putting the board on the little dot. God.
It does throw people, the fact that I'm actually from England, but I'm now living in Canada. So sometimes when I get people, guests coming on the show, they go, oh, you don't sound Canadian. That'll be because I'm not.
Yeah, that was my question last week to you, you know, when I was on your show. Like, okay, you're from what part of England are you from, you know? Oh no, I'm from Canada. Okay.
Yeah, but that confuses people in themselves, because my hometown is Boston, but it's the original Boston. So that's like 3 hours north of London. So basically all those dudes on the Mayflower that came over in the 1600s, they actually lived in my hometown.
So let's get to that. Let's get to back to when Lee Hatfield was a little guy. When was it that you knew that you had this fascination with the paranormal?
Well, I actually got asked this on another podcast, and it kind of threw me a little bit, because when I was young, I was always interested in ghosts and spirits. And I remember buying a magazine. It was called The Unexplained. And it, you know, typical magazine back in the day where it came out every week, and after 20 weeks you got a binder and all this kind of stuff, and it had ghosts and Bigfoot and UFOs, and that's what really got me into it. I was probably early to mid-teens, and I always remember it. And I've actually found a website that I can look at these magazines now, and in one particular article, it wasn't a paranormal thing, but it was on spontaneous human combustion. And I was absolutely convinced at that young age that I was going to experience this on a daily basis. And of course you don't. But that, like I say, I've always had that interest, but I never really did anything about it. And I was extremely skeptical for the longest period. I joined the military. I came out of the military and joined the fire service. And after that, I became a paramedic. And I remember on one Saturday night, this was probably 2005-ish, the guy that I would normally work with, he went sick, so they got a replacement. They call them spares. They got a spare in to work with me. And I'm just talking to this young lad, you know, normal stuff, football, you know, soccer, because you're from America. And then, you know, the weather, where do you live, what do, all this sort of thing. And then we got called to the first job of the evening, which turned out to be a cardiac arrest. So with me being the paramedic in charge, I'm getting him to do his normal stuff, and we're taking it in turns doing CPR. You know, we've got the AED and stuff like that. So I'm doing CPR on this dude. And he went, you can stop doing CPR. So what do you mean I can stop doing CPR? It's like I'm in charge here. You can't tell me what. I can tell you, but you can't tell me. And he went, no, you don't understand. The spirit is stood behind you, telling me to tell you to stop doing CPR because it's his time and he's not coming back. Silence. It's like, I'm sorry, what? And he went, yeah, oh, by the way, yeah, I'm a medium. Like, dude, this is like, okay. So we carry on doing CPR, and I went, with all due respect, can you please tell the spirit that I've got a job to do and I'm not allowed to stop until it's a certain time? So he went, oh, yeah, the spirit's okay with that. I went, oh, good. I'm so glad. The patient didn't make it, so we did all the paperwork, waited for the coroner and all this kind of stuff. Got him on the ambulance. I'm like, dude, you don't tell somebody
right.
A spirit stood behind you in the middle of a fucking cardiac arrest. It's like, yeah, sorry about that. And then for the rest of the night, it was like, so what do you see? Yeah, what do you hear? And I was quizzing him. And then that's really what got me, like, really interested. But I was still skeptical to a certain extent because, like, we had a TV show in the UK, and to watch it now, it's cringeworthy because there was a lot of screaming on it and, oh, this pebble just come from nowhere, where you think, yeah, it's probably come from, yeah, a crew member that's off camera and stuff like that. So, and say, it wasn't really until I came to Canada that I really, really got involved in that. Like, all these books here are paranormal and UFO and cryptozoology. Mm-hmm. And then it was like two years ago this month, Valentine's, the wife decides to buy me one ticket to go on a haunted walk. One ticket for Valentine's Day.
Oh, so you don't want to go with you then, huh?
No, she didn't want to come with me. It was cold. It's Canada. It's winter. Okay. And she said, oh, yeah, go to this haunted walk. And it was in a location where it was a field, but they buy wooden huts and things that have been from villages and put them together to make like a small village in this field. And all locations are supposed to have a good history. Like, there was an old wooden train station, and there was a guy that plays with ironmonger kind of, yeah, that kind of stuff. So we were walking around there, and there was a church and stuff like that. And I bumped into these two guys that had bought a couple of pieces of equipment with them. As it turned out, we were both with groups that weren't doing things the way that we wanted to do them. And we were looking for something different. So we basically exchanged contact details, met up in a pub 2 weeks later, had a few beers, and SEPA was created in this bar. And that's pretty much, that was 2 years ago this month. And then we've kind of gone from strength to strength since then.
Yeah, so you got an interest in from that medium that was on your team during that experience. So now that you're really into it, I mean, using scientific methods, what do you like one area better than another, like, say, ghost hunting, UFOs, Bigfoot?
Well, it's definitely ghosts and spirits. Coming from the UK, there was a location called Borley Rectory that had a fire, I think it was in the 1940s, but it always came across as being the most haunted location in England. And it was locations like that that I used to love reading about. And then I expand and have the podcast and all this kind of stuff. I Googled the word paranormal, and I'd never realized there were so many subsections of the word paranormal. There's absolutely loads of them. And it covers UFOs, cryptids, and everything. But I still really wanted to concentrate on, you know, the paranormal being ghosts and spirits. But because I've started talking to people that are UFO investigators, that have been abducted by UFOs, that have seen Bigfoot, that have seen the Dogman, I've kind of got that interest as well. But I live in a city. Yeah, I don't live in the sticks like all these people that experience these things do. So I don't really have that opportunity to go Bigfoot hunting or UFO hunting. Yeah, because you've got the light pollution in the city. Luckily, the way that my building is, my apartment building, we're looking north where the city is south. So we don't get a lot of the light pollution, but we still get some.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a telescope and stuff like that, but it's kind of, you don't want to do it by yourself. You don't get as motivated if mm-hmm. if you want to go out and do it by yourself. So finding people to do it with, if I had people that were really interested, I probably would do it. But currently the guys that I'm with are more based on ghosts and spirits and what they are, cryptozoology or UFOlogy.
Yeah, that's about where I stand. Yeah, mine's always been spirits and ghosts and hauntings, because when I grew up in, haunted house. But I do have a really big fascination with UFOs, even though I've never seen one. But, I think what led me into that was the lies that the government puts out on covering these things up. So it just always fascinates me. I mean, if you have 350 people, say, calling in 911, 350 people calling and they see a UFO, and yet they're going to say it's a flock of birds, or it's a weather balloon, or it's swamp gas. But and every time they cover something up, there's usually a cover up to the cover up. So, and I start digging into that, So, so my thing with that is, it's just unreal.
Yeah, there was that guy in that big U.S. inquiry a few months ago, where he got asked about extraterrestrials, and he went, "I cannot answer that question, dude." By saying you can't answer that question, you've just answered the question.
And yeah, I was watching a Senate hearing. What really got me was like you're saying, I can't answer this question. I mean, the reason why you're here is to answer the question.
Yeah.
Or the people that put you in charge is lying, or the people that's putting you in charge is sitting right there behind that Senate desk. So it's the political part that really just pisses me off. I know there's stuff out there,
but one thing that I do find is the first person that I spoke to about UFOs, because I subscribe to Haunted Magazine, which is a UK magazine, and when I decided I was going to do a podcast, I literally went through the pages going, "Oh, that's a cool story. Write that person's name down." Oh, talking about writing down, Al, I believe you've got your questions on a piece of paper.
That's why I can edit this shit out.
Yeah, so I went through the pages and like, "Oh yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I basically had a big spreadsheet of all these people I was going to contact, and there was loads of people that said yes. And I reached out to this one guy who was a UFO dude, and mid-sentence talking about one particular incident, he went, "Yeah, that was the time that I got abducted." And I'm like, "What? You can't just say that in the middle of a sentence and not continue." But then he continued with his story. And then after we went off air, I said to him, "I need to ask you a question." He goes, "What's that?" And I went, "I would like to have you back on to talk about your alien abduction, if you're comfortable talking about it." And he went, "Yeah, sure, no problem." So I'm having him back.
Well, that's cool.
I need to reach out to him soon. But then I interviewed, I don't know if you probably know the guy, a guy called Preston Dennett, who's quite big in the UFO world. He lives in California.
Mm-hmm.
Been on loads of TV shows. And he was telling me about his alien abduction. I'm not in a position, and you're not in a position, to call these people out and to say that they're liars, because we weren't there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but they were. So he was telling me this story, and I'm like, wow, if this really happened, and I've got no way of, I wasn't there, I can't say it did or it didn't, but the guest, as far as they're aware, it did happen. So you can't say no, it didn't. But it was like, it was phenomenal, some of the information he was coming out with. He described the tall grey. He described some of the other alien beings. And I'm just like there with my jaw wide open going, I've never spoken to anybody that had an alien abduction. This guy's telling me all about it. And I'm just like, I'm lost for words. I just did not know what to say. And it's, and that's part and parcel why we do this podcast, because if you've got somebody talking to you that can stop you in mid-sentence or can or can throw you completely off your line of questioning, that's a good story. And, yeah, and it's a good experience. So, yeah, and it, it really did, like, I was blown away the fact that he was telling me about this alien abduction.
And you come across so many different people, you know, and their stories and how they can relate to other people out there. You know, it's just not about you or him. It's like about your guest that's listening that can relate to your the person that's on your show. It's your people listeners that they can really have something in common with that guest, whether it be a UFO abduction, Bigfoot, Faye. I mean, there's so many avenues out there. And I was looking at your podcast. I thought your guest. I was like, that's a really nice lineup. And I says, you know, a lot of our guests are the same. I mean, your format's basically almost line next up. I don't do video. The only thing I don't like is if somebody's going to attack another podcast host or they're going to attack another guest. This isn't Jerry Springer. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to be in the middle of this this little fight you guys got going on.
Exactly.
I really dig your podcast. You know, I listened to a couple of shows over the last few days. Usually when I'm driving, I put my list and my directory on.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
One of the people that I spoke to, and I've spoken to her this year, and she's going to come back as well. She is a fascinating person to talk about the Fae and fairies. And there's one particular part of the podcast, and I actually shared this particular segment on my personal TikTok account. And she wanted to write an article for the Haunted magazine on these particular fairies. She'd been to a meeting one night. She'd walked out of the hall, talking to a couple of friends. There was a group of trees to one side. She heard something coming through the trees, and she braced herself because there was going to be, she thought there was going to be an impact, and she felt something on her back. She could hear flapping wings, but she couldn't see anything. And then she started vomiting soil. And she literally says, "How crazy does that sound?" And she goes, "If there wasn't two witnesses there that saw me do it, I would never be telling you this story." These two witnesses were both mediums, and they go, "Oh yeah." Later on, they message her and go, "Yeah, we think you were attacked by a demon." And she said, "No, I think it was something to do with the fairy realm telling me to take that article out of the magazine because of fairy lore and all that kind of stuff." And once she took it out, she never had anything happen. It's like, how crazy does that sound? When someone's talking to you about it and your jaw hits your table and you just go, "What?" And it's like, it's absolutely unbelievable.
You have all these avenues to go to. Back when I was growing up, the only thing I could listen to was Coast to Coast Radio, you know. So, you know, so it's come a long way. You had mentioned something earlier about the data you collect and doing those data sheets, and I'm so completely opposite. I know you do the thing with the calendar, and you know who's on the show, who's been on the show, who may be coming up again on the show. This is my calendar, man. I got one in my back pocket. I got one under my hat. I got one on by my bedstand. My wife says I'm the most unorganized person out there. I go to my band practice. Our drummer's wife has a freaking fit because I got cords here and it's hanging out this case and that case. She comes and wraps all my cords up nice and neat, get them all in the case real nice. Next week, my cords are like a rat's nest again. I really have to get better organization. So I have to wait.
I've got like a Google calendar, then I've got like an Excel spreadsheet, and then the calendar that you mentioned, I can send people links, and it shows them when I'm available. Like, I'm a stickler for detail, and I don't do things by halves. I'm like, okay, I need this, I need this, I need this. and I make it happen.
So while you're investigating, what do you like the best? Do you like the off the beaten path places? Do you like the national landmarks, cemeteries? What do you like? What's your favorite?
Well, funnily enough, the two favorites that I currently have are two jails, the ones I've mentioned, because I've had really good activity in both of them. I've been stroked down the face at one of them, and I've had some really good EVPs at the other. I'm a big historian, and you know, you can't see. I was going to say, you know, I know you can see to my right, but with it being audio, I've got loads of pictures from a TV show that was based in the Napoleonic War. Because I'd say I love my history. So any building that's got history to it, I love those kind of places.
So you take the history seriously then?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. And just for arguments, it's like I'm a really big H.G. Wells War of the Worlds.
Oh yeah.
And if somebody asks me about it, 1895, 1896 when the book came out, and 1930s when the U.S. radio station did their thing, and in the 70s there was a musical thing. And I can just reel it all off because I absolutely love looking at my history, and I can read so many different history books because my third great grandfather was in the Napoleonic Wars. He fought in World War II. He fought in Waterloo. It sounds the same. It's close enough.
Yeah,
yeah, and stuff like that. And I love it. I find it fascinating. I went to, you may know the place, it's Fort Ticonderoga, which is in New York State.
I haven't been there, but yeah, I heard about it.
I was there for, don't hold this against me, but I was there for a Star Trek convention, but I'm not a Trekkie. I went there to volunteer. I had the afternoon off, so I went around the fort, and I spent literally the entire afternoon there because I love going to all these locations. And when people find out I'm from England, I always go, yeah, I'm from England. It's the place where the history comes from.
You include science in your investigations. So you're also trying to debunk the situation rather than saying, hey, this place has got a ghost or a spirit or so-and-so's great grandfather. You know, so you want to debunk. I'm the same way. You want to debunk it before you even think about it's anything.
Yeah. And a perfect example, we went to a place called the Braylock Inn, which is in New York State in a small little town called Casanova. And it's one of these oldie-worldy hotels.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. You walk through the door and you get a tot of whiskey. It's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
We were setting up in the two most haunted bedrooms that they had. We booked them both for two nights. As we're setting up the tripods for the cameras, this cabinet in the corner of the room, it got a TV on it. The door just creaked open. And we all kind of stopped and went, that door just creaked open. And then for the next half an hour, we were trying to debunk it. You know, it got a wooden latch, and we were trying to put the wooden latch as close to being off as we could. We were banging the side of the cabinet. We were jumping up and down on the floor. And after half an hour, we could not get this cabinet door to open. And for this wooden latch, it was literally less than a millimeter catching on this on the other door, and it still wouldn't open. So it's like, okay. So at what point do we try to stop debunking this and actually realize that it may be something of a paranormal nature? Of course, there was no cameras running by then because we're setting up, so we've got no evidence, but it kind of like, okay, we need to stop trying to debunk it because no matter what we do, we cannot replicate what just happened.
And that's another thing, too. When I was doing my paranormal investigations back when I was doing my documentary years ago, my best stuff happened, man, off camera. Spirits and ghosts, that all runs off of the energy. So, you know, if I've got these huge, massive battery packs, my camera, not these little things, but big, nice big battery packs, that's going to last me 48 hours, right? And you go from 100% to zero. There's something drawing that power from that battery pack. It's not just that one, but my second camera and my third camera. So that's power's being zapped out of there.
Yeah.
Some things you just cannot explain. You just can't, you just don't have that proof. Even if you, sometimes even when you have the equipment, you just can't get that proof. You know, you might think he said this or that on that voice recorder, and so he came out real clear and said it. People still going to argue, oh, that wasn't the spirit. That was a CB from a trucker going down the road, or could have been anything. I know what the stuff that happened off camera in my experiences was sometimes the best experiences I had.
Yeah. And that's it, you see, because, I tell a lot of people that you've got two kinds of groups of people. You've got the ghost hunters that want to go out on a Friday or a Saturday night and just hope that they get scared or frightened. But then you've got the paranormal investigators that actually want to investigate the paranormal. It may or may not be real, but there's so much unexplained incidents that we can't explain. But then we want to try to find out the hows, the whys, all that kind of stuff. And for people to say, I had a Victorian woman or a Shakespearean man in my room at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm awake, what are you actually seeing? Are you actually seeing a spirit? And if you're not asleep and you're fully wide awake, what is it that you're experiencing? And at this location that I've just mentioned, the Braylock Inn, on the second night we'd finished at like 2 a.m. The two boys were in one room and I was in another. And I got this big old-fashioned four-poster bed. It had got like the doily kind of netting over the top that, just for the record, had not moved all weekend. I laid into bed and it had got the old heavy blankets on the bed, not modern duvets. It was all old fashioned. As everyone knows, when they start moving around in bed, if you move your leg from one place to another, you'll feel the blankets settle because there's now a space. So that happened and I didn't think anything of it. And like I say, I'd literally been in bed 2 minutes. I hadn't even really closed my eyes for more than 5, 10, 15 seconds. And I felt a really heavy sensation on the left side of the bed. Now, I was sleeping right in the middle. My legs hadn't been to the left corner, and I felt a really heavy sensation like somebody had sat on the bed. My immediate reaction was, one of the boys has come in, sat on the bed, and I hadn't heard the door. But the door was extremely squeaky, so I couldn't understand that. I opened my eyes, and then I just saw this white apparition go past the side of the bed. I know what I saw. I wasn't asleep. We hadn't been drinking. We hadn't been smoking. And I reached over to my right-hand side to get my phone, because I was going to take a picture of it, and it disappeared. I know for a fact that I was not tired. I know for a fact I was not asleep. But what the hell was it that I saw?
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I don't know. It's like you remind me a lot of it, like in my story. And I'm growing up in that haunted house. It's not like I've seen her every single freaking day. I've seen her the first day, and 5 years later, I've seen her next to the last day. So that, I'm not saying that nothing happened in between that time, because I sure in hell did. Actually seeing her, like you said, apparition. I mean, I've seen a full body apparition. So, and that only happened like you a few seconds. Like you said, it's gone like that. So it was only a few seconds. And so you can't explain that. You really can't explain that to somebody, because they'll say, well, it could have been this. Well, it could have been that. And your mind plays tricks on you. I understand all that. Yeah. I understood that then when I was 12 to 16 years of age. I understand at 12 years old, I understood it at 16. But I'm trying to debunk it. I'm trying to say everything that my dad had told me. It's a light to the car going down the street. It's just moved across. I was already thinking of that, right? It's not that I'm just jumping to that fact that it's an apparition. I'm already trying to debunk it.
Yeah.
But you can't debunk something that's a person standing there at the foot of your bed as a hologram that I'm looking at. It's not a light. It's a person. It's a girl. And for it just to fade away, you can't explain that because people even, I'm going back to 1970, when we moved out of the house, it was like 1972. So who do I go to? So I can't tell anybody. You need to imagine, Lee, if you went to tell somebody, hey, I just seen a person by my, well, you know, what were you drinking?
One of the good things about nowadays is we actually go to a couple of Comic-Con conventions as a team. We have a booth and we have equipment and we have video evidence and stuff like that. If you were doing that 20 or 30 years ago, nobody would have come up to you and told you their stories.
Right.
In this day and age, you pretty much get every man and his dog coming up to you. Let me tell you about the time when. And now, because it's so much in the public eye with all the UFO reportings, with all the cryptid sightings, with all this, you know, the paranormal activity, it's like a safe zone for people to talk in. If I tell people that I'm a paranormal investigator, if they've got a story to tell, they will come out and tell me that story because they know that I'm going to believe them.
And sometimes the people you don't think is going to talk to you, talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a friend who's a retired police officer. He's actually written a book on paranormal in law enforcement.
All of the places you investigated, which one stands out the most?
The first one that we did as a team stands out. It was a Cornwall jail in Ontario. There's only three of us there. When you walk into the jail, you've got a 40 or 50 foot corridor in front of you. It turns off to the left, goes downstairs to the rest of the jail. Or was it being a really oldie-worldy jail, built in the 1800s? If you turned right, there's like two or three cells that were the solitary confinement at the time. Logan went to the left, Volta went to the right, and I went straight down to the bottom because there was an area called the Hell's Angel Wing. So I've got my body cam on, I've got my camera, I've got my audio. You know, one thing that I do like doing is being by myself because I try to have a personal connection if I can. And I'm just walking around this Hell's Angel area, and then pretty much word for word, I literally said, if there's anybody here, if you'd like to make a sign, make a sound, make a noise, I would very much appreciate that. And at the time, I never heard anything. But on review of the evidence, after I said the end of the sentence, appreciate that, you kind of heard a, like a double breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, on review, I'm going, my God, that was a double breath. Yeah, play it back again. Yeah, definitely heard a double breath. You play it again. Yeah, it's definitely there. And I sent it to the guys and went, look what I picked up. And they went, was it you? And I was like, no. Yeah, paramedic for 13 years. I know how people breathe.
Right.
If I'm going to finish a sentence, I don't go, at the end of it. Yeah, it's not natural. And then I sent it to a friend of mine who is big into his audio and all that sort of stuff. And he literally broke this down into voice waves. And he's like, this is your voice wave. This is me banging on the table. And this is the double breath. And it was completely different voice waves. He says, that was not you. So for me to get that on my first investigation as this team, I was overwhelmed. It was like, my God, what I'm investigating is real.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got something that I cannot explain. And if you've got a paranormal investigator that tries to play by the rules, they won't say, this evidence is the sign of a ghost or a spirit. They go, I've got this evidence, but I cannot explain it.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on the unexplained pile. Unfortunately, that pile gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
And unfortunately, too, some of these shows you watch on TV, they don't want to put the unexplained pile there. They want to just say it's a demon or something that's happening that's not happening because you can't explain it. You know, that's why I always say the paranormal is the unexplained. You just can't explain it.
Yeah, and it's that frustrates me so much that as soon as something happens, oh, it must be a demon. No.
Yeah.
It probably isn't. And people that get scratched oh my God, I must have been scrapped by a malevolent entity. So I always go, wait, hang on a minute. Let me explain something to you, and then you tell me if it's a demon or not. So if you and I are talking, one of us dies. One of us becomes a spirit. If I don't realize I'm dead and I'm trying to contact you or to speak to you, I'm going to call your name. Because I'm now in the spirit realm, you're not going to hear me. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but normally you're not going to hear me. So the most natural thing for me to do is to shout at you. If you still don't hear me, the next natural thing is for me to reach out my arm and to try to tap you on the shoulder, tap you on that, and get your attention. So what I like to tell people is, just because you've got scratched, it doesn't mean it's a malevolent entity. It could just be a spirit that is trying to get your attention, and the energy that that spirit is creating has caused irritation on your skin, on your arm, on your shoulder. That is what could be causing the scratch, not the fact that they're trying to hurt you, not the fact that it's a demon. You know, it's not malevolent. It just might be trying to communicate with you in the only way that it knows, by touching you.
I know from my own experience back in the past that sometimes a lot of investigators, they want to confuse an ornery spirit or an angry spirit with a demon, and then that's not the case. I mean, sometimes you have playful demons, don't they? They want to play. They're tricksters, you know.
Yeah,
I've seen that. So, Mike, another question is: have you ever been hurt during an investigation? Hurt, touched, or pushed?
Okay, I've been touched twice. One I kind of mentioned at one of the previous jails. I turned up in November of 2024 because a friend of mine was setting up for a public investigation. This guy is a big guy, like 6'4", 300 pound or whatever. He's a big guy. Yeah. I don't know what it, I use the old money. I don't use pounds and kilograms, but he's a big guy. And he did not like to go to the death row by himself because it freaked him out. So he said to me, do you want to drive out and keep me company while I set up? So I, yeah, absolutely sure. Took the wife with me. And because we were planning to do an investigation there a few months later, I took my video recorder with me, and I'm walking around the jail as he's telling me all different parts about it. And I went into one room, and it was pretty dark. There wasn't any lights on in this particular room. And I turned round and literally got a stroke down the side of my face. So I stopped and spun around, expecting to see somebody, but knowing full well that anybody wasn't there. And then my rational head took over and went, right, it must be a spider web or a spider. Didn't feel an insect on me. And then my mind clicked and went, hang on a minute, the room you're in, you can smell fresh paint. There was decorators boards and blankets on the floor with cans of paint in the corner. And when I asked the buddy, he went, oh yeah, they was in this afternoon painting it. So unless you've got a spider or an insect that's on speed, there's no way that they're going to be able to create like cobwebs from the ceiling in that short amount of time. Plus, if the paint was still wet, they would get stuck, so they wouldn't be able to do it. So that happened, and I could not explain it. And then when we went back there in the February, we went there with a medium who was a friend of a friend, and she's looking in this room, and there was like a metal gate, and it was closed. When she looked in there, she went, oh, there's a guy in that room stood looking at us. And I went, what's he doing? She went, nothing. He just stood there looking at us. And I went, well, this happened to me 3 months ago. Do you think it's the same person? And she went, yeah, more than likely. He's probably just like letting you know he's there. So that was the first instance that I got touched. And the second one was just before Christmas of the Christmas just gone. We went to one of these old places that's been refurbished to back to how it used to look in the 1800s. Stately home, we call them in the UK. And the ground floor had been completely done to how it used to look, but the first level was still derelict, but they were raising money to bring it back to its former glory. And we was in one particular area of the upstairs, and it got a really quite a severe sloping roof, and it had these like window eaves where it's, it cuts out from the slope, and then you've got the glass. And I'm studying one of those areas, and I felt like my hand got grabbed. My hand was hanging out of my left pocket. So I immediately went to, my hand was grabbed. Again, I immediately went to the cobweb theory, but then that was immediately debunked, because if my hand was in my pocket, my elbow was sticking out, my shoulder was there. So if there'd been any cobwebs or anything, I would have taken them out with my arm or my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too low for it to really have, if it had been a cobweb, for it to have been, you know, have been that. So that was another time that I definitely had that sensation of, it didn't feel like a big hand, it felt like a child's hand, literally grabbing two or three of my fingers. And like I say, I had absolutely got no explanation for that. The guys that were on the cameras downstairs, they said, "What were you looking at?" And I went, "I felt like a," he said, "We saw you looking around trying to debunk it, but we knew something had happened, but we couldn't see what, because obviously, yeah, infrared and stuff like that." So yeah, that was the two times that I've been touched per se. Never had anything malevolent, never been scratched, but they were just the two times in recent years that this has happened.
Do you find it fascinating that time, we're talking about time travel or the lack of time? I found this on numerous guests that were on my show that have been abducted, how time plays such a big part on, and we could say time travel, we could say the loss of time. Like, in other words, they were on abducted the spacecraft, and he can explain everything that's going on. The time he's put back on Earth, it only maybe was, say, 30 seconds in his view, but it ended up being like an hour. Another case, it ended up, for this young lady was on my show, it would end up a whole night. So she wasn't put back on that roadway until the next morning, but it wasn't maybe 15 minutes on the craft that she was abducted. So I found that very fascinating. Have you come across that on the time lapse between abductions?
Well, the people that I've spoke to about it, one of them literally said it felt like I was in the craft for a few hours, but then when I got back into my normal body, so to speak, that like no time had passed. His particular story, he was actually laid in bed. Number one, if you're in bed, your intention is to go to sleep. Unless you can't sleep, you're not going to be clock watching. You may have gone for a couple of hours, and when you come back, it only feels like a few minutes. But people that get abducted by extraterrestrials and aliens, the moment that they get abducted, they're not going to go, "Oh, wait, let me put my stopwatch on. I want to know how long I'm going to be going." That doesn't happen. So for people to try to explain how much time has passed is difficult. But I do recall a story about the Bermuda Triangle, a guy that flew through the triangle. Mm-hmm. He went through a spiral of clouds, and he went into these clouds. When he came out the other side, he was at this location, and he knew that it was at a location before he went in the clouds. And there was no way that he could have got from that point A to point B in the time that he was airborne, because it was something like 100 miles. So what happened to him, for him to lose all that time and to end up in a location that is way, way, way far away than he was ever considering flying? It's, I think time does have a lot to do with it. Can time be manipulated? That's a very good question. It's a very good point. But if these ETs are coming to our universe, their technology is a hell of a lot more advanced than what ours is.
I was just saying previously, yeah, about these 411 cases, you know, and one case, a little boy was gone for almost 10 to 15 minutes, I believe, but they found him, 10 minutes, I believe it was. They found him like 5 miles away. I don't know how far up the mountain he was, but it was quite a bit. And they said there's no way he could have got there on foot, and that's where he was by himself. He claims a hairy creature was looking out after him. You hear these stories all the time. I got that coming in from a friend of mine who lives in the Appalachians. It's just unbelievable on these time lapses that you, whether it's in your favor or against you, you know, so much in the paranormal that leaves you scratching your head.
Yeah,
that's why, like you had said before, you know, I'm never out there to call one of my guests crazy or I don't believe that or that couldn't happen, because I know what I went through. You know what you went through. And sometimes it's really hard to talk about the unexplained. I mean, you really can't explain it. And I've learned years ago not to pound my head against the wall and making somebody believe me, you know.
Exactly. But putting that kind of thing in perspective, I love it how people go, well, we must be the only species in the universe. I was playing with something today, and people know what, or they've heard the term light year. But it's a distance of it's a term of distance rather than a term of time. If you're traveling at 100 kilometers an hour, it will take you a staggering over 10 million years to travel one light year. And to put it into perspective, the sun is 8.3 light minutes away. And it's like there's some stars that are like 25,000 light years away. And it's like that's it just blows your mind. It's how you can't put it into perspective. So how the hell can we be the only creatures out of all these tens of billions of galaxies? How can we be the only living species? It's impossible.
Right. And in the, I think I told you before, you know, if you put a pin up, like a sewing needle up in the, even to the sky, and you look at that little pinhole at that sewing needle, right? That little pinhole is our galaxy.
Yeah.
So everything outside that pin, that needle, can you imagine the millions of galaxies out there or space
that's
unexplained, undiscovered, and they say we're the only ones that intelligent enough to.
That's it. So for all these UFOs to like fly into our sky and disappear, and the speed they're traveling, yeah, when you've got information like that of how far they could be away, yeah, traveling at the speed of light may be the equivalent of, you know, riding a horse in a, it's that slow in comparison. You just don't know.
Yeah, like we were talking earlier about the UFO committees, you know, the Senate hearings here in the States. You know, maybe there's a reason why they don't come out and say certain things, because like I think I said before, you know, numerous times on this show, that if we can't control toilet paper during COVID, you know, people going bonkers because they don't have a roll of toilet paper, and it's the end of the world. Can you imagine?
It's like, an alien? Oh my God, there's an alien invasion. Quick, let's go to the store and buy toilet paper and bread.
Yeah. I mean, it just blows my mind. It really does. I mean, this stuff that people just don't have common sense. You know, you look at this guy, like, you ever just sit there and look at this guy and say how wonderful life is here on Earth? I mean, how beautiful we have it, you know? But, you know, they want to bitch and yell about these little things, you know? So, yeah, don't surprise me about this in the hearings, you know? A lot of people don't have common sense. They may be smarter than a book smart all you want, you know, but they can't just deal with the reality, you know?
No. Absolutely. And it was quite funny during COVID, because I was talking to one guy and he went, he'd got a mask on. He went, I don't like wearing a mask. Why is that? For two reasons. And this made me laugh. He goes, the first reason, with all the carbon monoxide that I'm breathing out, I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Carbon? He goes, yeah, carbon monoxide. And I went, no, it's carbon dioxide. No, it's not. It's carbon monoxide. I went, that's exhaust fumes. And then he goes, and despite that, if I'm wearing a mask and I breathe out and I've got COVID, it can't go anywhere. So it's going to come back in and I'm going to get worse COVID. It's like, dude, that's not how it works.
No. you can't explain that to him. I mean, so.
No, exactly. You can't treat stupid sometimes.
No. You know what, Lee, I could talk to you probably another 2 or 3 hours, but I'm afraid I'm really hoping my internet stays on for another hour and a half. But I got another podcast I'm doing at 9:30. I'm on their podcast, so. I'm hoping my internet stays in. I told you before, you know, if a squirrel farts in my neighborhood, the power's going out. Yeah, so that's just if you close your eyes, man, you're gonna go through our town. We got small. It's really a cute little town I live in. It's like a Hallmark town. It's small businesses, and I love it. You know, but I mean,
yeah,
I moved from a bigger city to here. You know, and so I had to adjust. You know, because some people say, "How do you like Newton Falls?" I said, "Well, I love it. You know, but it's really the middle of nowhere, but the middle of everywhere. You know, because like I can go 15 miles this way and go to Youngstown, or I can go this way and I can go to, you know, there's everywhere I can go, there's a bigger city with a Walmart. Here we have nothing but Tiger Den Pizza, Big D's, Burger. You know, so
yeah.
But we do have the oldest active covered bridge in the state of Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's really cool. People keep running into it. They're going to, I told my wife, you know, they're going to shut this thing down here pretty soon because they're talking about it. Because we can't rebuild that. The Army Corps of Engineers have to come in and they take control of that. Right. You know how, and you know, whenever you get the Army Corps of Engineers involved, you're waiting.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah. Well, 2 years ago, somebody ran, they skidded off in the middle of the bridge and took out one of the beams. And I think they built it in 1837, somewhere on there, I can't think of it here. And now somebody hit the outer entrance of it just the other night.
Jeez.
And so they they claim it was still safe to drive across. But
let me know.
They also call it the Crybaby Bridge. So I've been there a couple of times investigating that with my recorders, and I didn't hear anything, but I have friends that have.
Interesting.
So legend has, like, in the early 60s, it was the 60s, a woman threw her baby into the river.
Wow.
And that's why you hear a baby crying or the woman crying. So I didn't hear it either. Of course, I did go at the height of a thunderstorm. And that was all I gave was this heavy rain, the lightning, thunder, you know.
That could be a bit difficult.
Well, it's my pleasure, man, having you on. I know we're going to talk again. And I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
You got a thing, good thing going on. Keep out. I know you said as long as you love doing it, you can keep doing it. You
know, absolutely. So,
and
it's been great. I really do appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Okay, Lee. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too, my friend. Take care. Thanks. Bye bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Lee Hatfield, for being on the show tonight. I will put Lee's links at the bottom of this episode. You can go and find out more information on SEPA, his Paranormal Chronicles podcast, and if you would just like to contact Lee and chat with him. I'm your host, Al Cooley, and thank you for stopping by and listening to Ghost in the Valley podcast.
Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It scuffs, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save